Have you ever felt like you were beyond repair? Have there been periods in your life where you find it hard to get up and face the day? Have you ever been at a point in your life where you found it hard to turn to God? Maybe you feel like the sin that you allowed to creep into your life has become too big of a separation for you. Or perhaps you've not been baptized and you wonder, does God even want me? Or worse yet, you've been baptized, but have done or thought things that you feel are unredeemable. I don't know about you, but throughout my life, I have often felt unworthy to be with God, to turn to Him, to even pray to Him. I have often felt as though I do not deserve to be in His presence. I have done things that I regret, and I have failed to do things that I knew were right. My thoughts are often still soiled with sin, and at times I have failed to abide in God's word, to spend time reading it or thinking about it. And it's funny, when I'm away from God for even a short period of time, when I fail to be in His word, receive His gifts, or engage Him in prayer, I often find it extremely hard to start again. Do you ever find it hard to pick up God's word yourself? If you ever missed a Sunday or maybe a couple Sundays in a row, do you find it hard to go back to church? If you get caught in a sin, do you find it hard to confess it and ask God to rescue you from it? Perhaps it's become a little too close to you. I think it's so hard because of the accuser. He is always telling us that we're not worthy of God. And in a way, you know what? He's right. We don't deserve God's goodness. We don't deserve for God to take us to heaven. We don't deserve to have God bring us to the waters of baptism. And when we daily sin, we don't deserve to have Him forgive us again. The devil is right when he points that out. But when the devil implies that God would not want us back, he is lying. The person of Jesus proves that God wants you, even me. We just read today, he said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In other words, Jesus is coming for you, not to condemn you, but to save all of us who are already condemned by the law. When Jesus came to be baptized, his cousin John the Baptist tried to prevent him. He said, I need to be baptized by you and you come to me. You see, John, the baptism he was proclaiming, it was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That means that everybody who came to John came in hopes that they were going to get a fresh start. They were hoping that God was going to rescue them. They were hoping to be saved. They wanted to be rescued from their sin. They wanted to be rescued from anger or hatred that they had in their hearts towards the other people in their town. They wanted to be rescued from the lust that they had in their hearts and the adulteries that they committed. They wanted to be saved from their envy. They recognized that they were a jealous people. They recognized that they were always discontent with what they had and that they were always wanting more than what God had provided them. And they wanted to be rescued from their lies. They couldn't bear the punishment that their sins deserved, and they came to the waters hoping to be forgiven. They wanted a fresh start, And they wanted unity and peace with God. They wanted to believe that God loved them. That's why they came to baptism. But John knew that Jesus, who was coming to baptism, didn't need forgiveness. John knew that Jesus was without sin, and he even stated correctly. He said about Jesus, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Why would he need forgiveness? Why would he need to come to these waters? But Jesus did not come to those waters to be forgiven. He told John, "Let it be so now. Baptize me. For this baptism, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And John consented. That means he agreed. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You see, Jesus, the only one who is without sin, he came to those waters to meet sinners. And the Holy Spirit revealed to the world that this one who has come to these waters, this one is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He came to those waters of baptism not to judge you. He came to those waters of baptism to give and to take. In those waters, he gives us sonship, that he makes you a child of God. Galatians 3 says, "You are all sons of God through faith, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ But the idea is you are sons, you are his children because of baptism. In Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts so that you can cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" God's your dad because you were washed in those waters. And Jesus gives you new life in those waters. He gives you unity. All throughout that Romans reading we read, you are united to him. And you have peace with God through the forgiveness of your sins. In those waters, he makes those who receive him into members of his body, the bride, his church. In those waters, we receive all that belongs to Jesus, including the Father's good pleasure, including eternal life. He comes to those waters to give those things. But what does he take? He comes to those waters also to take. And in those waters, he took all of our sin. Every evil thought that we ever had, every disease that has plagued our bodies, every act of willful disobedience that you and I have arrogantly engaged in. In short, those waters, he who knew no sin became sin for us. In those waters, a great epiphany occurred. God revealed himself in grace and mercy to sinners like you and I. And after the Son of God stepped out of those baptismal waters, what did he do? He began his march to the cross. He carried the weight of our sin and shame to the place where they would die when our God exhaled his last breath with arms spread wide. This is what his love for us cost him. Everything. Our sin had to die, and with the spilt blood of God's Son and with his burial, the things that separated us from God. Think about all the things that you think come between you and God. All of those things went to that tomb. They were destroyed. And on the third day, the one who relieved us from the weight of our sin rose from the grave so that he could guarantee us new life in his name. In our baptism, we also inherited the victory of him who rose from the dead. It is now a terrible lie. It is a terrible lie when the devil tells those of us who have sinned that God doesn't want us back. When the devil says, you've done it one too many times. It is a lie from the pits of hell when you think that God doesn't want you. Look at what it cost God to get you. His blood wasn't spilt on Calvary for nothing. It was spilt to get you. It was spilt so that you could have everything that is worth having. Jesus came to meet you in the water, and he will never let you go. When you feel like you can't let go of your sin, when you feel like you can't return to God, when you feel like you've been away from Christ just a little bit too long, remember that Jesus did not come to break you. He did not come to squelch you. He came to take you home. God has given his Son to us in baptism. Jesus is given as a covenant for the people. He is a light for the nations. He has come to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison. He comes to bring out those who sit in darkness. He's come to rescue you and I from the prison of our sins. He has come to pull us out of the dungeon that those sins have created for us. When we feel as though everything around us has grown dark, I'm there a lot. I don't know about you. But when you are there, when you feel as though things have grown dark, Jesus is the light who comes to restore our sight. My friends, my brothers and sisters, there is always hope because you have been united with Jesus in not only his death, but also in his resurrection. God's grace has come to you and you are his. What shall we say then? Since God is so good, are we to continue in our sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might rise to newness of life. If we have been united, there's that word, united with him in a death like his, we shall surely be united with him in a resurrection like his. Our small catechism points out that each day, this means that each day, you will do things. You will think things that you know are wrong. You will. It points out that you will not let God's love have its way with you. You're not going to receive God's love the way you should. And therefore, your love for others is going to fail, just like mine. This is not a reason to hide from God. This is not a reason to keep from coming to Him. The fact that you failed is not a reason for you to make up excuses for why your sins really aren't that bad. No, when we sin, we want to identify them. We want to use God's law and say, here's another one. And we daily ask God to rescue us because we know that sin wants to take us somewhere that we don't want to go. Luther puts it this way, what does your baptism indicate? It indicates that the old Adam, that is our sin and our sinful nature, that it would by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die. That's daily. With all sins and evil desires. That means that every day we submit to the light of God's law, which examines our lives. The same way that the CAT scan examined my body to find out what in the world was causing me so much pain. That's why, and then the doctor came in when they identified what the problem was. They came in and they scooped out my gallbladder. I'm still healing. But my sin is even deadlier than that pain was. The law identifies it. It's like a super CAT scan. It says, here's your problem. You're going to need a little forgiveness right in this area. And God is more than happy. He longs to give it to you. Every single day is a new beginning, a clean slate, a renewed hope. Because Jesus lives, our sins are as far as the east. East is from the west. Because Jesus lived, there is nothing separating you from God's love, His mercy. There's nothing separating you from your Heavenly Father. Because Jesus lives, you don't have to worry about your future. Heaven is your home. Now and eternity. You are set free from worrying about your welfare. You are set free to think about the care of those who God has placed into your life. You are set free to love others because you are loved. You are set free to be used by God to call others to those same waters that He has called you to. And if you have not been baptized, I would love to talk to you. This is where the God of all creation desires to meet you. Where He desires to give you all the gifts that Jesus came to give. And after baptism, your purpose in life is not that you would find fulfillment in this fleeting world. In the waters of baptism, you were fulfilled. And now you have a new purpose. Your purpose is to let your light shine in this darkness so that others would see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven. In other words, you are here so that others would be saved. To put it in another way. You are here because God still so loves the world. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until He returns for you. Amen. Amen. We rise together as we continue our service with the Te Deum. This is found on page 223.